Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome, Boomer Esiason, Craig Cardinal, fan, of course, worldwide on CBS Sports Network. Got a great show for you today. As everyone kind of reintroduced themselves yesterday to their families, no baseball, no Mets, no Yankees, but now it starts. Now it's, as they say, in the hood, game on. Because the New York Yankees have 52 games to go. They are three games behind the Red Sox, two in the loss column. 52 games to go. This is the stretch you talk about when you either become a division winner and maybe go into the playoffs feeling like you have a chance to win a World Series, despite what the Dodgers and the Astros have done all year and the Nationals, or you go the other way. And the Yankees have shown the ability to go either way. Which way will they go? Good morning, Boomer. How are you today, buddy boy?
I'm doing great.
I said good morning, Boomer.
I said good morning.
Are you okay?
Great. I'm doing fine.
You sure everything's all right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely great. 100%. 100% great. You know, I'll tell you what's cooking. Can you open this?
No, it took me 20 minutes.
Victor Knox.
You need a Swiss Army knife to open the Swiss Army knife.
It took me 20 minutes yesterday to open my Swiss Army knife.
Can you open that for me, please?
I will definitely open it for you.
No, actually, I'm doing well, and I think you're right. I think you're right about the Yankees. I know that, this is – every series from this point out is huge.
Yep.
The other thing, too, is I think they play – I want to say they play the Red Sox like 9 games over the next month, I think. So maybe 12 games. I'm not sure. But they play the bulk of their games is going to be against the Red Sox here.
Because which is great.
It's Toronto. I know the Mets are coming up. They got Cleveland again. And then they have a whole bunch of games against the Red Sox.
Yep. And by the way, I love the fact, it's too bad the Mets suck, but Subway Series in games that mean something, at least for the New York Yankees, I think it's great. And if there was a year for the Yankees to play the Mets in August or September.
This is the year.
This is clearly the year because,
it is, yep.
I mean, they really shouldn't lose any one of those games.
Well,
based on what, you would say on paper, per se.
The problem with the Mets is that when you watch them play against a good team, it's almost as if they don't have a chance.
Right.
They just don't have a chance. And I don't care if it's Jay Bruce in a lineup and Cespedes in a lineup and Conforto in the lineup and Neil Walker in the lineup. I mean, and Ahmed Rosario in the lineup and Wilmer Flores in a lineup. You'd think, oh, wow, that's major league guy.
Sure.
Major league. There's a guy making $25 million. There's a guy that's going to be a free agent next year. Here's a guy that's making this kind of money. And here's a guy that has these numbers on the back of their baseball card. But it is just, whether it be Asdrubal Cabrera, Jay Bruce, or whoever it is, everybody collectively is having an off year. Not saying that Jay Bruce is not having a good year because his numbers will
indicate that he is. He's statistically a very good year on a bad
but
team.
The problem is that they're not having good games together.
Right.
You know,
which
it's
has kind of
like,
been their issue a lot in the last 10 years. Other than the year they go to the World Series, the wild card last year. It has always seemed that way. Even go back to when Yoan Santana was here, right?
Yep.
He'd be like, he'd pitch great, they wouldn't score. Then the next, Pelfrey would be on the mound. He'd pitch like crap, and they'd score 10 runs. But
and
they
the
never
story,
put it all together.
And the story for the Mets is whether or not they're going to bring Bruce back, whether or not they're going to bring, say, Neil Walker back. And the thing is that Terry Collins will tell you, these guys are great pros. These guys will grind through it. These guys are guys you want in that locker room. Well, I want them in the locker room, too, as long as they can play on the field.
Right.
And the problem with Neil Walker is the injuries have just been so significant over the last 2 years. It's like he's missed so many games.
Now, he can't be a Met next year, but here's the deal.
Well, it depends on what the money is and how much they want and what they're doing. I would think, do they want to go with this group of guys again next year, given the fact that they have no idea what to expect from their pitching staff.
I think they need major improvements for next year.
But how are you going to do – you can't just do major improvements. I mean, the major improvement will be Ahmad Rosario. He's young.
Right.
He's energetic. He can hit home runs. He can field his position. You know, that's your you know, Gary Sanchez, your Aaron Judge for the New York Mets. That's your guy. Maybe Dominic Smith comes up here in a few weeks and he becomes the guy at first base.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden you got two-thirds of your infield.
Yep.
They're both really young guys, and hopefully they can be that version for the Met fan that, you know, that Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez are for the Yankee fan. That's what you're hoping.
That's the goal. And speaking of Judge and Sanchez, you know, Sanchez, we all know, has been benched, obviously, and needs to do better, although he's got 17 home runs. But, you know, it really, and I thought there's an article about it today, how, you know, the Yankees' last 52 games, you know, the pitching, we all get it, right? They're putting it all on Aaron Judge's shoulders. You know, Halliday's out, of course. Sanchez gets benched. Brett Gardner, second on the team in home runs with 19. And you're right. You look at their schedule. After the next three games, which are huge, in Toronto, you've got six of the next 10 games, right, against the Boston Red Sox. And the other four against the New York Mets. So you'll come out of those series August 21st, which is, I think, the only other day off they have for the next 6 weeks. And they will have played 13 games between now and August 21st. Six against the Red Sox, four against the Mets, three against Toronto. And the question is, are they good enough to go 9-4 in those 13? 8-5, make up whatever the number's got to be. They got to now have a run like they had 2 months ago, where Judge is hitting the snot out of the ball. Everyone's contributing. They're scoring, you know, 55 runs in five games. The pitching's dope. Betances and Chapman are everything they're supposed to be. And the New York Yankees take stock of the American League East and take control of it. And if they don't, there's no guarantee the Yankees are the wild card team, by the way.
Well, there's so many
teams that are right there close to them. Yo, you better win the division because there's no guarantee you're getting in as a wild card.
All I could say, all I'm saying is that Brian Cashman went all in.
Yes, he did.
You don't acquire two starting pitchers, you don't acquire two relief pitchers, and you don't acquire a starting third baseman if you're not.
No, they are going for a World Series. And by the way, the wild card would be unacceptable for them. Of course, they would take it if they win it and move in advance. But the New York Yankees, you're right. They'll have 40,000 people at every game the rest of the way. Every game counts. Every game matters. Like you said, a boatload of games against the Red Sox. And now the question is, and here's what I think the real rub is. Unlike all those great Yankee teams we all watched for a decade, I think the diehard Yankee fan looks at this team and just doesn't know. I think that's a fair assessment of where the Yankee fan is. They love the fact that the Yankees as an organization said we're going for it, and they're going for it, but they don't know. This team hasn't yet shown the ability to put it on and run away with it.
If Aaron Judge does what he did in the first month of the season, thank you.
You're welcome.
It only took you about 15 minutes.
Yes, tough.
Then they'll win the division. They will. I mean, it's the fact that, and I'm not putting it all on him, but he was such a huge presence.
Yep.
Batting over .330, whatever it was at the beginning of the season.
No, he's hitting the ball all over the place.
I mean, that guy basically is what got the Yankees off to their great start.
And made them entertaining and exciting as well.
So obviously coming out of the All-Star break, been in a slump, has been really struggling, been swinging at bad pitches, looks off balance in the batter's box, blah, blah, blah. Hits a big home run the other day, you know, smacks it right over the wall.
Yep.
Just like an easy swing and everything else. Maybe he'll get his game back on track. If he gets his game back on track, then, you know, all bets are back on.
Yep. Meanwhile, while the Yankees start against Toronto, trying to start that 52-game run right to the postseason, the New York Jets have bad news as Quincy Enunwa has a bad neck injury. Now, he'd already had a bad neck a year ago. This, they claim, had nothing to do with that. Obviously, there's got to be some connection, I think. He's a bulging disc now. And you talked yesterday when you were a Jet quarterback, and the collective amount of receptions in the NFL from the guys that you were going to have to throw the ball to was like nothing. Enunwa is done for the year now. He was going to be their go-to guy. You got four guys now on the roster. Collectively, I think 50 catches, something like that, 60 catches, whatever it might be. But for a team that has a major quarterback problem and a team now that has, frankly, no star standout wide receiver, it is going to be ugly and get worse.
There is not one guy on that list that you say, uh-oh, watch out.
Right. And maybe a guy emerges. You hope some guy becomes a stud.
Maybe Lucky Whitehead becomes something special over there. I don't know. But it's really unfortunate because Quincy Enunwa really had an opportunity here. And he deserved the opportunity. I mean, he played his ass off last year. He's a terrific down-the-field run blocker for a wide receiver. They love the kid, and this is just – it's such an unfortunate situation for him. It's an unfortunate situation for the Jets. You know, thinking about this and kind of comparing it to 1995, the one thing I will say, the Jets will have a good defense. They will have a good – I don't know if it will be top 10 because they'll probably be on the field a lot.
Right.
I think that the Jet offense may lead the league in three and outs.
Okay, fantastic.
It looks now, if you wanted to put your like soothsaying hat on and your kind of predictor hat, I would probably say there'll be one of three or four teams that has the least amount of first downs, the least amount of points, the least amount of touchdowns.
Is there a chance that they, by default, just become a extraordinarily run-heavy team?
They have to.
All I know is this.
But that's not, that's really not. If I want to give you a perception about their offense coordinator came from New Orleans,
right.
And he had a field general on the field running things, down there. He saw how Sean Payton and Drew Brees kind of worked together and saw how Drew Brees would control the game on the field. He's not even remotely close to having it. Now, I think Josh McCown is a very serviceable, experienced NFL player. He's a quality guy. He's one of those great guys you want in the locker room and all that other stuff. I went out and did a game of his when he was playing for Chicago after Jay Cutler got hurt.
Right.
That's a whole other story, by the way. And he played great in the game. I think it was against the New York Giants, as a matter of fact. He was awesome for the Chicago Bears. But the thing about Chicago, they had Brandon Marshall. They had Jeffries.
Right.
Legitimate players there and everything. And I think whoever the quarterback is going to be for the New York Jets is really – It's going to be a tough spot.
Well, McCown's getting most of the first-team reps. Then there's a story that came out yesterday that Hackenberg got the most amount of reps he's ever had with the first team, more than Bryce Petty, of course. And then, of course, when you hear the news that Hackenberg may have actually started to look like he knew what he was doing, at least, a different story comes out that says he didn't know how to come out of the huddle. Now, I think that's complete bullcrap. That being said, I don't understand the concept of he doesn't know how to come out of the huddle. You're in the huddle, and then you go to the line of scrimmage. What aspect of that would a guy not know how to do?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm sure, and I don't know this for a fact, but if I had to surmise at what I think is the situation.
Go ahead.
I would think that Johnny Morton, their offense coordinator, wants to play up-tempo football.
That's what everyone claims.
In and out of the huddle. In and out of the huddle. Let's go. Let's get the plays called. Let's get up to the line of scrimmage. We're not going to be doing a lot of thinking. We're going to be doing more reacting than thinking.
Okay.
And let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm all for that. I love that. I think more offenses should do that if you have the capability at quarterback to handle that. That goes back to my days as the no-huddle offense and all that stuff in the 80s. Put the pressure on the defense. Go fast, go as quickly as you possibly can. So I'm thinking that he's mulling around and he's thinking too much and he's not getting the play call, the formation calls and stuff out of his mouth they can get to the line of scrimmage.
Because he knows how to walk from the huddle to the scrimmage.
Right, so I'm just thinking it's tempo. I think it's tempo related. And if I had one thing that I think that I could do with a Josh McCown, an experienced player, is that I could get in and out of the huddle, get to the line of scrimmage and get the play called, and go.
Got it.
And not sit there and, look around and change plays and move guys around and all this other crap because Tom Brady does that. Peyton Manning does that. We're not doing that because we can't do that.
Well, we got lots to do today. Of course, the Yankees, 52 games to go. You got the Jets and the Giants. You got a guy who had one of the great quotes of all time. Well, I'll explain it to you later this morning. But he's going from cleats to meats. I'll explain that one to you. Eddie, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. Don't be premature with that. When I'm ready for that, you'll know I'm ready for that.
Very good, sir.
I think you have to go to George and Stanford first.
Very, very, very premature.
Yes. Georgie, what do you got, kid?
Hello!
Hello! What's up, babe?
Craig, two things. Coach Cowher said a lot of nice things about you when he was on.
Oh, that's nice.
And also, I was wondering, at what point are you going to switch to become a Giant fan like you did with the Yankees?
Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Jets fans for Giants?
Nope, never going to happen. Now, even though we're the Giants station, even though I do a pig spank for the Giants,
Jets fans for Giants?
I am a Jet fan, true and true.
See you coming soon.
No, it's not that. Listen.
Because you're looking at a Giant team might be good this year.
There's a lot of things that'll happen. That ain't one of them. Now, I'll tell you this. If the Giants are playing the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC Championship game, I'm rooting for the Giants.
Okay, it's a start.
All right? But all right. At no point will my allegiance as a fan ever cross the
you
stream.
Know, I will say this. I don't ever get the sense, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I don't ever get the sense that there's like that bickering that goes on between Jets and Giants fans. Especially lately.
You know, listen, how often have the Jets been really good?
Well,
we had the 2 years with
Rex.
With Rex, who went to championship games. And to be fair, we obnoxiously bowed up our chests and talked a lot of smack. And then, of course, the Giants came right back in 2010
for some reason,
we'll just go win a Super Bowl and shut you up again.
It's just it's like the Mets and the Red Sox both look at the Yankees, the fan bases, probably the ownership and teams as the evil empire.
Okay.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So there's always that fight between the Met and the Yankee fan, but I don't necessarily feel it between the Jet and the Giant fan.
I think when you go locally, legitimate, you know, Hatfield and McCoy type things, Yankees and Mets for sure. Rangers, Islanders.
Yes.
I think.
Well, from a team and fan base, yes.
Right? I think that's fair.
Because the Islander fan is always.
Hot Van sucks the whole thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yep.
Basketball doesn't have it, although the Nets are trying to force it a little bit. That's it. What do you got?
Well, you got Red Bulls and NYCFC.
No, that's big. You don't really have that.
Yeah, you do.
You really don't. Not something that's really in our wheelhouse.
Yes, you do.
I could talk soccer with the best of them, but that's not our thing.
That's not our thing, but it's the thing for those guys.
I don't think the players give a damn either.
That's a thing.
You think David Villa really cares about the Red Bulls?
That's a thing.
It's a thing?
It's a thing.
I'm not sure how much of a thing that is.
You think it's a thing?
Seems like it could be a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a growing thing for sure, absolutely.
Definitely growing.
You guys are crazy.
It's growing.
It's soccer, very much like hockey.
You need to get your corner kicks and your headers and all that other stuff.
I got that on lockdown, man.
When are they going to take the header out of soccer?
They have taken it out of youth soccer.
I understand taking it out of youth
soccer. Not high school. Under high school, most of the governing bodies, at least I can't speak to any state other than New York, they have outlawed the header.
You know, the amazing thing is you and I talked about CTE yesterday. There has to be a dead soccer player somewhere where they can get his brain and look at it.
You think? Yeah.
Right?
I mean, listen, if there's any sport other than boxing where, you know, there's...
What about MMA?
I didn't bring it up because there's fewer headshots in MMA than boxing. You know, boxers take more headshots in MMA.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I get it.
That being said, soccer's the only sport in which the head's in play.
I think lacrosse and hockey.
You don't hit.
I see.
I'm saying you use your head as part of.
Well, football you do.
Your control of the ball.
He's thinking the other sport other than football.
Yes. Well, right. Listen.
Listen, lacrosse and hockey, these guys are hitting the crap out of each other.
It's a high contact sport, but I'm saying in soccer, you're specifically supposed to use your head to score goals. To move the ball around.
True, yeah, you're right.
And I have a little pet peeve about our own show.
What's that?
If you have something to say, will you just say it on the air? Because what happens is you'll have, in that case, a thought that maybe what I was saying wasn't clear. And you'll say something to Boomer. And then Boomer reacts to what you've said, but nobody heard what you said
other than
Boomer.
No, wait, time out.
And you do it to me, too, where you'll say something to me. And I'll react to it, but no one knows what the hell I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I think the last one that Eddie said to me, he actually said on the air. I'm assuming he did. Oh, he did.
No, he said it to you.
I thought he said it on the
air.
No,
he did not.
I'm sorry.
Now, you have a microphone in front of your face. Turn the on button, and please share with the audience. Unless you think what you're sharing should not be shared publicly.
That is sometimes.
Like when you give me good stuff to make fun
see,
of.
Right there. Yes. So right there. See, so he's
this
on
is
the air.
On the air. Yeah.
How
that's
can I
on
tell
air.
The difference?
You can't. 2 ears, 1 ear. Oh, actually, you only
have
the
have
1 ear.
1 ear.
Yeah. He's like Van Gogh.
Yes.
Understand? So I'm just saying it's for 10 years, it's been a pet peeve of mine.
With both Al and I, or just me?
Well, frankly, with both of you, but specifically when you do it to Boomer, because he can't help himself but react to you.
Not
and
all
I
the
don't,
time.
I don't blame him.
Not all the time.
Because you're having a conversation with him.
Right, but not all the time.
Not all the time, but a lot of the time. Like, they'll say something in your ear, and you'll lose your train of thought, or I will, because now you're engaged in a conversation with these knuckleheads, and it's off the air.
And there are sometimes, well, he'll hear it. He'll answer me
right.
on the air to something that I
yes,
just said.
Yeah, but that's what he's pointing. That's
and
what
then
he's
I got another.
So I can't tell the difference whether
correct.
Or not you're on the air.
And
well,
so
I try to do a
ear.
Stage whisper sometimes.
And here's
if
the other problem, Eddie.
Do a stage whisper. I'll know that you're just talking to me.
Now right. I try to change the
we point. All and you guys have to be sensitive to this now. He's got the CTE.
True.
You can't
saw
talk
that.
To Boomer the way you used to.
Okay.
Right?
He gets confused.
Yeah.
You can't.
No. So stop putting crap out there about CTE. That's serious stuff. And you know what? I don't know what the signs of CTE are. I don't think I have those signs or symptoms as of yet. But I'm just telling you, don't make fun of it.
No, you
I'll
should
come
not
in
make...
And I will cut your you know what off.
No, you know what? Why? See? Why be violent?
And the good news is that I have a
Swiss Army knife.
A Swiss Army knife big enough for you, Al.
Yeah, that's it.
See this right here?
Dwarf one.
That does look large enough, yeah.
That could kill you. Here's what's weird about what you said yesterday and the reaction to it.
Okay.
You, and that, it's not that you haven't said it before, you have, but here's what fascinates me.
Yes.
You have said, and you just said it again, you have no symptoms, knock on wood, of having some type of brain situation, right?
I don't think I do.
No, right. And you've acknowledged, like any of us, as you get older, there's things you may forget, but you're not attributing that necessarily to having CTE, right?
No.
You have not been diagnosed with any type of post-traumatic stress or concussion-type protocol stuff, right?
I would think PTSD comes from, you know, working with you, maybe.
Possibly. So what you basically said was, I played football for 14 years as a pro and my whole life growing up. So let's just say I played for 30 years, I played football.
25.
Okay. For 25 years, I played football. As a result, I believe I most likely have some level of CTE. What that level is, clearly I don't know. None of us do. But I'm blessed in that I have no symptoms. I believe.
Why are you regurgitating
because
what I said?
You didn't say anything, is my point.
Oh, I see.
You didn't come out and say, hey, I want to announce I'm feeling the effects of
no,
playing
but
football.
I announced that I went into the NFL concussion
yes,
settlement, and that's how we discussed it. And I told you that the NFL concussion settlement basically says that anybody diagnosed with CTE after 2015, it will have no effect on the concussion settlement.
Right.
Which means that the NFL recognizes that probably most players have it.
Possibly.
And they don't want players using it in regards to the concussion
right.
settlement.
But about yourself, the story is not that you do have it. The story is you said you wouldn't be surprised if you had it.
Yeah, I can't diagnose myself.
Right. And I'm thinking about it because every new outlet took it. You were the big topic of conversation yesterday in that, you know, NFL great Boomer Esiason says he most likely has CT. All players probably do.
See, I like that.
At the end of the day, you didn't say anything.
I like that.
NFL great.
Yeah, I
you like that.
I so, but here, but here's the thing.
I don't know. I was talking about this morning.
When you have a study of 111 former NFL players.
Yes.
I think it was 111 and 110 come back with CTE in their brains.
Right.
I mean, it's not a far-reaching leap to say that. Yeah, I would think that almost every player, if not all players. Have CTE of some sort.
I would say punters and kickers probably.
Well, we can't diagnose it, obviously, until you are dead.
Right.
And I would imagine with the advancement in medicine, as you've seen with Tourette's and I've seen with cystic fibrosis, that it won't be long before we will figure out a way to diagnose it while you're still alive.
Boomer and Carton on the Fan. We from that to the baseball and everything in between.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.